You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello, everyone, and welcome as we enter our second to last Myopia Mornings episode and the last episode of May, right before we get to June, the last month of this season. It's exciting. So a little bit here first, if you're listening to this, thank you for listening through our fourth season. Oof. Also, please rate and review us because of that. Next, if you can, please support my comedy group, Cineprov. They will be performing the next Thursday, the 7th, I believe. They'll be riffing on Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren. I won't be in it, but I will be there to support them, so I'll hopefully see you there. Further, if you could support the ESO Network by joining the Patreon. Our episode should be up soon. Anyway, I hope you guys are had a great weekend, and I hope you'll be doing a lot more sharing and following us as we enter our final month of this season. Thanks!
We need to tape a promo, guys. If you had to encapsulate the roundtable in one catchphrasey kind of way, what would you say?
Rampant dickery? Redonkulous? let's not go with Shrink. That, you know. The first one was good. The second one was great. After that, it kind of, you know.
Guys, promo. Stay on topic here. Okay. Stay on topic.
Stay on topic. Oh, no, I'm going in.
Stay on topic. Stay on topic.
Topic.
Red leader, Ryan. No, I'm sorry.
Stay on topic.
I can't say it. It's up to you, Red 5.
Oh, God.
Where's the promo?
So,
Duke?
Promo. The Roundtable. Brought to you by Revolution SF. Tough love for sci-fi. Available at revolutionsf.com and iTunes.
Welcome to Myopia Mornings. This is a podcast dedicated to revisiting the TV shows we all loved as children and seeing just how well they hold up. This month, we watched Beavis and Butthead. That's right, Beavis and Butthead. Before Office Space, King of the Hill, Silicon Valley, Mike Judge blessed us with these two iconic morons for 7 seasons and a movie. And then, you know, an 8th season about a decade later, you know, just to make fun of what's going on in the 2010s. Yep. So, to discuss whether this is still watchable, we have on panel.
Hi, this is Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defender Childhood and riffer on Cineprov.
Hi, this is Steve-O, some random guy on the podcast.
Hey, this is Daniel. I'm a contributing writer for popdose.com, and I have to say, the show was cool.
You have the voice pretty good.
give us the laugh, Daniel.
It's haunting, like, isn't it?
It's like chicks and stuff.
So, take that and do that for 7 minutes, and that's the show. Pretty much. I am your host, Scott Miller. I got to get my name in there.
Yeah.
And let's dive right in and try to give our listeners a quick refresher as to what the hell is Beavis and Butthead. Which one of you guys wants to give a little summary as to like the premise of this show?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I was never allowed to watch this as a kid, so I don't know.
Well, then
how...
you be quiet.
Okay.
Steve, do you got something?
It's beautiful, thoughtless ignorance. It's sexist. It's poorly drawn. It's poorly orchestrated, but somehow it all congeals into one beautiful, stupid joke. And it's a lot shorter than I remember it being.
Yes, that is
the episode's average 6.5-7 minutes.
Yeah, it's we were talking about this, that they must have had a half hour block, you know, of like 20 minutes of show with 2 or 3 shorts and then like 2 or 3 music video, Mystery Science Theater,
yeah,
making fun of them things going on.
It really is like skit comedy. It's almost more like,
yeah.
It really is. It's like they play on one theme, one joke. It's not a running gag throughout the series. We thought of one fart joke. Yeah. Let's make a 6-minute skit out of it.
It was like the old Nickelodeon shows where it was like these two segments that were combined together for one episode.
Well, and I mean, just to get to the root of it, it's two idiots, one blonde with like a bouffant named Beavis, and a guy with a kind of a... It's a comb over. Like, it's like he's balding in high school, but it's
a comb over, and he has a hair lip and braces.
Yep.
And let's also be honest, the two of them have gigantic heads.
Oh, yeah.
Huge heads. Comparatively, we'll get back to this, but yeah, compared to other humans in this world, they just don't look real.
They don't. And the whole premise is effectively them on their couch. And then misunderstanding the world around them, whether it be high school, the world, like the greater world, and then a premise tossed at them. It's Seinfeld to the nth degree in that it's a show about nothing, and they just kind of stumble across incidental plots.
Well, yeah. The thing about it is, and where most of the comedy lays, isn't in them necessarily. It's in how the world reacts to them, where it's just like, oh, this is completely normal behavior.
Or doesn't react to them.
Yeah. Or like that plastic surgeon who's just like, oh, you want your thingies bigger. Okay, I know exactly what you mean. And I'm going to go ahead and perform the surgery on underage children who didn't give me any money.
It is. It's beautiful. It's their misunderstanding of the world and the world's misunderstanding of them.
Oh.
And also Rockin' Knockers.
And rock deep. And heavy metal. Yeah. Let's not forget heavy metal.
You just started talking like a dumbass.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, to be blunt, it's if it were Matt Groening being Bart, that's them at 8, and this is them in high school. Like, it's the same kind of characters, just being jackasses. I imagine Mike Judge just pulled the story of him and his friends in high school, and this is kind of, like, and this is way off to the side, but also the same. There's a great book called My Friend Dahmer, which is by Burt Bachdorf, and it's just, he was the guy on the side as Jeff Dahmer was just the guy... essentially doing a Beavis and Butthead routine, being the guy going, I'm Beavis, right?
Yeah,
that's what this is. I'm sure Judge knew a guy who was Butthead, and that's kind of the show.
Well, I mean, it's two kids who are going through puberty or just post-puberty with tons of hormones.
Does that mean all the chicks are going to grow boobs?
Everything to them is a double entendre. Everything to them is a sex reference. I mean, everything is just...
You said sex.
Yeah, exactly.
You said sex.
But they're not even that good. It'd be like, oh, you said.
Above the laundromat, laughing about the word load.
Yeah, they just haven't laughed in a while.
Load.
Load.
They're permanently brainstoned.
They absolutely are.
After they ride in that dryer,
Yeah, pretty much.
With those horrified people watching them in the dryer.
Well, before we go into what we watched, you can't really break it down by episodes, but before we go into the things we watched, we got to start off with, what do we remember? What do we remember from this show? I will start off with my pieces of memories for this one. I know I watched this show when it was on MTV back in the day. I wasn't super old or super young, you know, in my 10 to early teens when it was on. I remember very vividly them making fun of music videos from their couch, and I remember that. I remember the laugh. I remember that I went and saw the movie when it came out.
Sure.
I remember Beavis's Cornholio character, which we did not see in any of these
shorts.
Which
you couldn't find.
Oh, yeah.
And how crazy Beavis gets when he gets really excited about something. And then, of course, their laugh. But, like, I couldn't tell you... I didn't really remember the secondary characters or whether the show had 20-minute episodes or 6-minute shorts. Like, yeah. I actually didn't remember that. So, I mean... you know, I have very, like, strange memory of this show. And I have no memory of liking it or not, or whether I thought it was funny or not. I just know it existed. That's about it.
Well, I mean, honestly, for me, it was like the forbidden fruit. I'm not going to pick on you, Scott, but, like...
What?
I mean, like, I watched it with my friend Mark, and both of you guys had older brothers, so I wonder if it wasn't, like, an access thing. Like I just... My parents just said no to MTV at a certain point, so I watched it at friends' houses because they had older... The one I got to watch, which we're not going to get to, this little mini, the spinoff...
This limited series.
...is South Park, which, like, whatever, 2 or 3 months in, they had like a marathon of all the first season before my parents had heard that it was a thing that I shouldn't watch. So we had a sleepover. So I watched all of those.
So my parents were very much, I think my kids can handle it. I don't think they're going to watch something violent and turn violent. I don't think they're going to watch something depraved and become depraved. So they let us kind of watch whatever they thought was worth watching. So if they thought this was stupid, that's when they'd be like, why would you watch that? It's dumb. But if it has violence or sex or something, then. But the South Park movie, on the other hand, I went and saw that and then told them I saw it. And that had a little bit of a conversation of like.
Academy Award nominee.
Hey, it's really a musical, guys.
Yeah,
right. We like musical. Anyway, so, but I totally remember like the disclaimer in front of the Beavis and Butthead episodes.
And South Park.
And so I told, and South Park too. So I get that a lot of parents were either because, I mean, I don't know, watching these episodes, it's just it's just stupid kids. And you don't want your kids acting like idiots, but at the same time, like, there's nothing, this isn't like a, Ren and Stimpy bad.
Ren and Stimpy had plot. Like
my parents didn't care. I was watching Ren and Stimpy. And I'm like, you guys need to look past the fact that it's animated. Like, watch what I'm watching.
Well, and well animated. This is like, if there was Flash in this, like Flash animation at this point, this would have been something. This is nothing.
Is literally cartoon or crayons. But
literally crayons. Steve, outside the lines.
Let's go back to our memory lane walk.
Yeah, Steve, did you see this?
I had a similar experience, really, where I forgot how short they were. You know, I was nostalgic about, you know, the stupid laughs and the innuendos and all that. But I think the reason why the length of the episodes eludes at least myself, and maybe this is the same for you, Scott, is this was a show that was discouraged by parents. So where did you watch it? At your friend's house at 2 o'clock in the morning. You watched it you binged on it for 4 straight hours during the marathon.
Yeah.
So you remember it being a 4 straight hour block of Beavis
definitely
and
was a, so where did it I'm start? Staying up past bedtime and putting the TV on kind of thing.
Exactly. So those are my memories are, you know, sitting in a sleeping bag and laughing about stupid ass jokes until I fell asleep and then forgetting where one episode started and the other one began. There was pee, there was a dog, there was a nurse with big hooters on the TV. I don't know. It was stupid, but it was entertaining, and that was exactly what we got tonight, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, no, this was a good smattering, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Pretty much. You said smatter.
That's how it goes.
Cut it out.
All right, Daniel, you were a little later exposed to this, you were saying?
When I was growing up, this was one of the things that, like, every kid in my first grade class had watched, so they were always talking about it, and I wasn't allowed to, kind of for the same reasons your parents did. They just thought it was dumb, which, in retrospect, they're right.
I don't think they cared about this show at all, but, yeah, go on.
But I remember, like, this and Ren and Stimpy being particularly off-limits, and by the time I actually got to a point where I could taste the forbidden fruit in my home, as it were, it was gone. The first time I think I actually saw them was when Beavis fought Butthead on Celebrity Deathmatch, and if I recall correctly, Cornholio won that fight.
Yeah, sure. As he would, as he's wont to do.
Sneaky strength, that
but,
one.
But by the time, you know, what Steve was talking about, his sleepover memories, for me, that was Daria, which was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead, and that's where I saw some of those episodes.
We saw Daria tonight.
Yeah, Daria had a plot. That was
it
the
does,
big difference.
It does have a plot, and it was actually intelligent, but I think the first thing I actually saw was much later when I was in college, and I saw the movie. I got it back when I had Netflix mailing me DVDs.
Is that a stay tuned?
A simpler time.
Oh, the movie? Oh, God, yes. That movie's great. Mm. Robert Stack demanding cavity searches for everyone.
That's right. They actually, and they legit got Robert Stack.
Yeah, they got Robert Stack. They got Bruce Willis. They got David Letterman.
Isn't Demi Moore his like?
Yes, yes.
Jesus Christ.
That and the movie, I mean, we can come back to like, this is the Mike Judge show, which I mentioned in the intro. And Mike Judge, right after this, immediately started King of the Hill.
If I can cut back in real quick, that was kind of what got me into Mike Judge was, I remember when King of the Hill first came out, and I remember seeing the previews for it on Fox. I specifically remember that clip of Hank going, "Watch the ball, Bobby," and Bobby was going, "What?" and then gets hit by a little softball, which was funny, to 11-year-old Daniel.
Right, and that's the exact like comparison between these shows. How the hell does the guy who made Beavis and Butthead wrote, probably colored in the numbers, and did all the voices for Beavis and Butthead make King of the Hill, which is like...
Well, it's like...
It feels like a very homey show, but it kind of makes fun of being a homie.
It's like watching Chris Nolan's first movie, Following, which was shot on like a $50,000 budget. It's all in black and white. It's like 68 minutes long.
But it wasn't about two kids making sex jokes the whole time.
I won't have you calling King of the Hill a homie show here. King of the Hill is a glorious piece of garbage.
King of the Hill is amazing. Did you just call it garbage?
Well, anyway.
Not garbage in that way. I love King of the Hill. I'm not saying anything bad about King of the Hill.
But Hank might be the wisest man on television.
It's sort of that slightly non-sequitur dry humor.
Right. I don't know if it's like an adult like version of everything's funny, everything reminds you of sex kind of thing, and then you get older and it's like everything reminds you of something else and you're just trying to figure out a way to work it in. With a little non sequitur or something. I don't know if it's just true.
Beavis and Butthead is funny when you're 10 years old.
Right.
Or 50 years old.
Yeah.
King of the Hill is not funny when you're 10 years old, but it's
true.
But it's brilliant.
But when you're
really
older,
is.
You get it.
No. Yeah. It's brilliant when you're in your 20s, and when you're 30s, it's too real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, because, like, we could get really pretentious here, but, like, Beavis and Butthead is almost like avant-garde meets kitsch because they're too dumb to understand what's happening and therefore everyone thinks they're brilliant. Because, right. Like, they interact with, like, the plastic surgery, the Prozac phase, the grunge rock phase with dating videos. Like,
that was the best episode we saw tonight was the dating videos episode.
I mean, and, like, old people think they're too dumb to get it. Like, the greatest generation thinks they're too dumb to get it. And they're Gen Xers. They don't care to get it. They don't try to get it. It's actually quite brilliant in that way, but this is for a bunch of nobodies watching nothing.
World they live in, well, first I think it was supposed to make fun of MTV's perception of its audience about how they were all just a bunch of dumb kids that were obsessed with boobs and fire. And,
this is what they did when they watched music videos on our show. Yeah,
exactly. So I think it was ultimately them trying to make fun of their audience, which is, that's well established in a lot of comedy shows.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, you look at the rest of Mike Judge's career. I mean, he did Office Space, which is way too real if you've worked in an office.
Oh, God.
He did Idiocracy, which people are rewatching in the last year and a half. I won't say why. And and Silicon Valley now, which is super cringy, but like it makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure it makes way more sense if you work out there. So he's
really good
at that. Do you remember
The Good Family?
Yes.
No.
Well. It's one of those things that barely anybody remembers. It lasted for like one season, I think, on ABC. But it was a Mike's Judge show where he was essentially making fun of like a hippie family that kept trying to do good in the world, but it ended up going horribly wrong. Like, I think one of the running gags was they adopted a pit bull just to teach it to be a vegan. But in the end, like, their entire neighborhood had like plasters. All their walls were like plastered with missing cat posters because the dog ate them. That was the gag.
An animated TV program that revolves around a family obsessed with doing the right thing environmentally, politically, and socially. Lasted 13 episodes 10 years ago.
Oh, and one of their kids was an adopted kid from Africa, but he was white. But they still dressed him in like African traditional African garb.
On a mission, and they just stole him.
they just weren't aware.
He's in Africa.
They didn't know what was going on in South Africa.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So back into what we watched. as far as Mike Judge's start here, we watched a few shorts. We don't need to do this the way we usually do because there's no summarizing these things. It's they try to wash a dog, they end up throwing up on it. They try to get their wiener implants, they end up getting nose jobs instead.
We never see the results, which disappointed me. I thought it would be like that episode of South Park where Mr. Garrison turns into
David Hasselhoff.
That would have been good.
I was a little disappointed by the lack of continuity, but I mean, that's what you get in skit comedy,
right? It's a cartoon,
right?
Man.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there's a short we watched, Animation Sucks, where it's just super self-referential, where I guess Mike Judge had just had it
Oh, that bit where he's talking about how animation is this wonderful medium that can turn drawings into movement. It's just a static shot of Beavis and Butthead sitting in their desk.
For 45 seconds. Yeah. That might be the best joke they did.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. And then video dating service that we mentioned before. And then we watched some music videos as well. So, I mean, I don't even know where to start here. We've kind of jumped all over the place already. I don't think it's worth going into these individually, but I mean, yeah, like we've mentioned, these are all just kind of, they're shorts, so it's one joke. They don't have acts. They don't have time for it. So you have washing the dog. I mean, it goes pretty fast. Well, like, it does this, like, roundabout Simpsons kind of thing where they watch a TV show, get the exact wrong message out of it, which is we need to be friendly to an old person who's going to die so we can be in his will, and then they go do a thing, and then things happen.
Or the one that you didn't mention but we watched, which is Stuart. They break into Stuart's house because he has Skinamax, and they're going to watch some porno, and some guys kick down the door saying that they're the movers, and that's kind of it. They're just there to rob the place, but Beavis and Butthead show them where the good stuff is, which is a stack of porn and some bras.
That Stuart's dad has. Yeah, what was the name of one?
Jugs.
Wet Jugs, yes. Yeah.
These are the coolest guys I've ever met.
Yeah.
And he has like a fat guy heart attack. He's like, those must be Stuarts. And you're just like.
You know who we didn't see in any of the episode we watched was their principal.
Oh, Strickland? What's his name?
Well, Strickland, I thought, was the propane salesman in King of the Hill.
Well,
I thought Principal Strickland was someone too, but he does it.
Maybe.
He's really just Strickland. Like, like he's having a fat guy heart attack at every given moment.
Yeah.
Principal McVicker.
McVicker, there you go. Yeah.
Also, Mike Judge.
Of course.
Of course it is.
They could everything. Afford one person and then a guest, which was the woman. It's like Madeline Kahn in a Mel Brooks movie. Like, there's the woman.
You'll play the woman on this.
David Spade, probably.
Well, can we go into like the first episode?
Please,
it really
go.
Does
Do it.
Set up. It was the one where they were watching that soap opera. They were at home and watching a soap opera of a old man in a wheelchair looking down his nurse's uniform.
Looking down her top, yeah.
So then they decide, because this old guy was rich, that they need to find an old person to get written into their will. So they go to their neighbor, who's the Hank Hill. What was his name? Mr. Arnold?
Oh, I don't know.
Sure.
It's the exact same voice.
It's the exact same voice.
That's definitely where he developed that.
Well, boys, when the Grim Reaper comes, I'll be ready.
There you go.
Yep, pretty good.
Daniel's got it. I can't.
I'm not here to do voices because mine's pretty good.
Yeah. Not here to make anyone look bad.
They offer to do chores for free, and he says you can give my dog a bath, my little poodle, and they take it to a laundromat. And that's the episode right there.
I mean, it was exactly how you would think.
Yeah.
And as The Simpsons would say, and the rest writes itself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It is. It is.
Although I was so glad they didn't, you know, actually harm the dog. They just made it really dizzy.
Yeah. And the dog goes in the washer. They go, hey, the dog's really dizzy, like he's stoned.
Oh, the dog's really, cool. The dog's really stoned.
Yeah. So, of course, they somehow fit in there, too, and end up throwing up on each other.
And the dog.
And the dog.
It smells even worse than what I gave him, do you?
Yep. Don't ever come back.
Well, that's the other important thing to do. Like, these guys you assume are either drunks or alcoholics or stoners or making out, they do none of those things. They just think they do, or they're getting close, or they think that's what they want, but they have no idea how it actually works.
Yeah, they just wannabe 15-year-olds.
They're 100% wannabes. Like that, and that's the fun. Like that's the joke. Like I think at one point I even saw a short, whatever, where they get like a beer and they can't even finish it because they get drunk right away because they don't actually drink.
Right.
Right. Like that's kind of the gag of the whole show.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. Like it is. They're the worst people in the world, but they don't actually know what they're bad at. And that's how we wrapped up what we were watching. When they're watching, they like actually Butthead actually completes a video for the dating service.
Are you ready to turn on the pleasure machine?
Yeah, I'm ready to turn on the pleasure machine.
and meanwhile, Beavis actually hooks up with the receptionist who falls for him.
Do they actually hook up?
Well, okay, she falls for him.
Well, she's trying desperately to hook up with him.
Geraldo.
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 Shut up.
This woman keeps calling for Herondon.
There's no Mexicans here. This is turning into a Napoleon Dynamite voice.
Oh, sorry, and the last line of that whole bit where that woman comes to their house looking for Butthead, saying, "I'm here to turn on the pleasure machine." No thanks. The TV works great.
Which might be the answer to all of MTV at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
All that whole episode is just wonderful miscommunication, double entendre. Everyone's just thinking the other person's saying one thing. And it goes both ways. Because a lot of it's usually just like normal people reacting to them in like, oh, surely they're saying something normal here and not something completely stupid. But this one goes both ways, which is kind of funny.
Like a bisexual.
Yeah.
Nice.
AC/DC.
He said both ways.
I mean, I also love the Metallica versus the AC/DC, which by the time the show went off the air in like the mid-90s, AC/DC made no sense anymore. Mm-hmm. Metallica tried to come back. I also love how Stewart wears a Winger shirt because...
Oh, yeah, that's what he was wearing.
Because that's what you needed in 1997 or whenever this went off the air.
I'm surprised it wasn't a Striper shirt.
There you go. Or actually, you know what? Styx. Styx would have made more sense.
Yeah, there you go.
We did watch music videos. We did watch them do some music videos.
They did.
We watched.
I'd forgotten that they were so short. It was only like maybe a minute tops.
Yeah, these are just like really 90 seconds, maybe. Yeah,
at most.
And you barely see the video. I mean, you have to know.
And
what
you can't hear
watching.
The song anyway. So
no, I do remember that you can't hear the song. It's just them watching MTV.
Well, I when the Revival came out, I actually did watch that, and they actually did pause some of the dialogue. So you could at least hear a bit of what was going on. Granted, they were doing reality TV shows, so you had to kind of understand the context. But even the videos they were doing.
Yeah, well, you don't need to hear the songs for the music videos. I mean, you don't need to hear a Korn video to make fun of them. And
I mean, this was when MTV still showed music videos, so everyone was familiar with them anyway.
Yeah, this was on at
is
11.
Is MTV even still doing anything these days?
God knows. It's
still
probably
knocking
out
Jersey Shore reboots.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is TV still a thing, you guys?
Kind of. It's for sports. And
yeah.
I remember a couple years ago, and I know I sound old whenever I say that, but...
You're not old.
I watched one of the VMAs at one point. I don't know why, but this was like in the early 2010s because Florence and the Machine performed at that to promote their album.
Sure. Decent reason.
And at one point in time, everybody went crazy when the entire cast of Jackass came out. And
wow.
It's like, I remember in the early 2000s when Jackass was still a thing, and that was like the worst, stupidest thing on TV, and everybody hated it, and they were genuinely angry that something like that could exist.
Yep.
Well, and at least that was the good one. Remember Bam? Viva La Bam came out?
Isn't that Uncle
Dad
like now?
There were like three or four spin-offs of Jackass.
Just
plus
harassing
multiple
his
movies.
Poor dad.
And, Dirty Grandpa or Bad Grandpa?
They have a movie out this summer.
Action Park.
Kind
Action
of
Point.
Masquerading as not a Jackass movie. But if you watch the trailer, it's a Jackass
movie. Based on a real place in New Jersey.
The second Jackass movie is great. The first one sucked.
Anyway.
Oh, and I had a point at one point. It's long gone.
Was it about Monster Magnet?
No, it was it was kind of about Beavis and Butthead, though. Yeah, so we watched Monster Magnet. We watched Negasonic Night.
That's the song. The Monster Magnet song was Negasonic Teenage Warhead for all you Deadpool fans.
And then there
was
Pass the Mic by the Beastie Boys.
Yep. And that Korn song, you know that Korn song. That one.
Not Freak on a Leash, the other one.
Yeah, the other
Adidas?
One.
Adidas?
The other one with the not much going on in it video.
Yeah.
That one was actually hilarious because I don't remember why they're talking about making themselves dizzy and then watching a music video. And Beavis basically gives himself oxygen deprivation and becomes like a pitchfork music
Kurt
critic.
Loder,
becomes Kurt Loder.
He has that one lucid moment. It's great.
And he just is like tearing apart Korn for being derivative of a number of bands. And then when he snaps out of it, Butthead is like, God, you've been talking like an idiot, like a dumbass. And it's pretty good. I thought that was pretty
nice. I would have been interested in seeing them doing like some of the videos that actually do remain in everybody's consciousness. Like, could you imagine what they would have said about Thriller or a Madonna video or something?
Well, they were doing stuff that was like an hour earlier was on MTV.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, Freak on a Leash would have been the interesting one to do because that one didn't die.
Well, I remember
that's one with the bullet that just goes.
And it's like a cartoon kind of like, because like the girl isn't real, right? Like she's kind of like a weird Tim Burton nightmare.
Corn with a K.
I remember at one point reading an interview.
I literally said we have to watch the corn one because I am certain they will make fun of it. And absolutely happened, and I felt really good.
I remember seeing this one clip where Ice Ice Baby started playing, and they didn't say a word. They just shut the TV off and looked at each other, all traumatized.
There's got to be a video they watch where they watch the whole thing and don't say a word. Where it's just too good.
They would shut it off.
It's just too
good. They shut it off.
Like what a Metallica or something. There's got to be one. It's like Enter Sandman. They're just like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Yeah,
Lars looks like a dumbass.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
There should have been a Napster thing. Like it is.
a little. Oh god, this would be before Napster.
It would have been a little bit more.
Lord. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're kind of hitting our roadblock. That's what this show is. It's give it 10 minutes of your brain time and move along.
Now, I do have a question for you, Scott.
Sure.
Of the 5 episodes we did, which one was your least favorite?
That's your question.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know, man. They're all pretty stupid.
I mean, honestly, I think the dog one's the weirdest.
Probably the dog one. Just because
it's a joke. It's one joke. It's...
Well, it doesn't have the... that kind of miscommunication thing that they keep hitting on later where it's, you know, we want to get our thingies done. And he is like, surely they're talking about their noses, and they give them nose jobs and, oh, we're robbers. Okay. Or we're movers. Sure. I believe you. Let's break stuff. Like the dog one is just two dumb kids. I don't know.
They redo that same episode later on where they do yard work for him. And like, they're just doing the yard work poorly. And, like, the joke is that they can't even competently mow a lawn, right? As opposed to here, where it's just kind of like, what would happen if you put a dog in a dishwasher, right? Like, or whatever. Like, it's, like, because the first episode, like, their Spirit of Christmas to South Park is frog baseball, which is literally just them, like, playing baseball with the frog as the ball.
Oh, I remember.
It's not even a joke. It's just kind of, like, two kids doing dumb shit things, which... kind of is the thing that I'm sure that's the show he just kind of saw.
That is the show.
In 2001 or 2000 was the 20th anniversary MTV special where they did this like special countdown of like the most shocking MTV moments, and Frog Baseball was one of them.
I'm sure.
I remember that.
I'm sure.
Introducing the world to these morons that still live on today. I mean, they're right. They had that reboot season in 2011. Which I didn't watch any of.
Oh, I saw all
of
that.
I watched it all.
Yeah.
I won't lie.
Did you? You both watched all of it?
Oh, yeah, man.
My apartment at the time had free cable, so it's like, why not?
I fucking paid for cable. I DVR'd that shit. I'm not going to lie. I love that.
Yeah.
And when the season ended, I'm like, when is it coming back? Oh, it's never coming back? Okay.
All right.
Do they still have the music videos, the new one?
No, they made fun of reality TV shows and a couple videos.
There you go.
But they made fun of 16 and Pregnant. They made fun of Jersey Shore.
The
it was
videos
great.
I remember them doing were like viral YouTube music videos.
Yep.
Like that one from It's So Cold in the D. Remember that one?
Yep.
That's one they did.
Would it still be good? Because for me, it wasn't an episode. Like, I liked all the episodes, but the music videos were so topical that out of context, you're kind of like, eh.
Well,
if they're nostalgic, it's one thing, but otherwise, you kind of just like skip over them.
To wit, at one point, they made fun of Chocolate Rain, and that was like 5 years too late.
Yeah. Well, the Cold in the D one actually worked, because it's like, how do you dance to this?
I don't know. We can try it.
And it actually showed them trying to twerk or something.
Oh, yeah. God.
But I mean, like, and to that end, like, music videos are just dying in general. So it'd all be Beyonce and OK Go nowadays, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, are there shorts in the 2011 version, too?
Okay. Yeah, there are shorts in between.
That's the one I was telling you about where, because I remember, this is the one I remember where they watch a Twilight movie and they figure if they become werewolves, then they'll be able to score.
Yeah.
So they pay a homeless man to bite them and they both get hepatitis.
Got one of those sexual diseases.
That is
butthead.
Exactly how that would go. Yep.
We're going to score.
So it seems like if you're listening to this, and I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you've never seen Beavis and Butthead, but you just love us.
I don't know. These episodes are shockingly popular.
Oh, yeah. Big hit. Well, I never saw the 2011 episodes, but if you're listening and wondering what the hell are these guys talking about, maybe the 2011 is the one to get into first, just because it might, like Steve was saying, it might just make the references might make sense to you, as opposed to like a Monster Magnet video or they're talking about God knows what. You know, I just look at it like, what am I looking at from 1994? I don't know why I'm watching that.
Well, for the music videos, the episodes, you don't need any context.
Yeah, that's true.
They're beautiful, and you need to appreciate the crude, they're hand sculpted pieces of beauty. Like, they're really
colored in with crayon.
Well, and to your point, nothing else on the network was much better at that point.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, like,
not.
Human Giant was a sketch show. It had Aziz. It had Paul Scheer. It, like, and that even was like, they had no budget. Like, they had like no budget for any of this shit. So you know what?
Yeah.
If it gave you one of those joke 'em ups, like, you're fine.
Remember when the Tom Green show was like the most popular thing they were doing?
We got it from Canada in the like in a bargain bit. You got it with a Kroger Plus card.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's 30% cheaper than anything else.
Oh, we were on the wrong side of history.
And then, and then every once in a while, they pull out a Clone High or a Daria on us. And
which
then
lasted for 6 episodes. Undergrads.
Undergrads was a great show.
Whatever. Go ahead, Scott. You can wrap us up.
Yeah. Well, Steve actually had a good, started getting into his wrap up a little, calling it beautiful.
It is beautiful. I loved every second of it. Dive into it.
And you would watch it more again? You would tell someone to watch it?
I would. Absolutely. Start from scratch. It's like an evolution. I didn't see the 2011 stuff, so I can't say. But it is. It's very, you know, it's animation in its crudest form. They're not trying to be clever. They're not trying to use any special effects, but it's entertaining. And it's 6 minutes. If you can't find 6 minutes to watch something, then, you know, you don't have the DVD, I guess.
I think it is on Amazon Prime for those of you without the $2 DVDs that we have.
Yeah.
Daniel, what did you take away from this?
Wow. For all those, it was shocking to me when I read some, well, no, I didn't read it. I just realized that all the like freshmen in high school this year don't remember Hurricane Katrina. They can't. So, yeah, I know, Scott, I know.
My brain is hurting.
I know. Tell me about it. But for anybody who actually wants to learn what everybody valued in the 90s, there's like one of maybe 5 shows you can watch. It would be stuff like The X-Files, Early Simpsons, Seinfeld. And I'd put this up there too, because this really was this cultural touch point where even if it doesn't mean as much to you, you can kind of learn about what it meant to people back then, including everybody around the table, because even if you weren't watching it, you still were at least aware of it, which doesn't really happen anymore.
I mean, and I guess my last word, because Scott gets the last word. God, to your point, this one's a hard one because Seinfeld and like the first 10 seasons of The Simpsons are kind of evergreen in the business talk. Like, they don't really age other than the fact that no one really drives in Manhattan, right? This, on the other hand, is shockingly topical, right? Like, they're referencing bands and things that don't exist at all anymore, which is the hardest part about the show, frankly. It's still funny if you don't I never made a video for the like a mail-in video service, but I know they exist because I've seen the YouTube videos, which are now everywhere. So to that end, the 2011 one is where I think you should start, just because it's making fun of the topical again. They are cultural commentators. I didn't realize that between them and Joel Hodgson, the comedy style of riffing is created, which is now something like 30% of all comedy, and it started 25 years ago,
man.
Which is nuts, because look at like something from 1990. It's not self-referential to like what's going on around them at all. Even Seinfeld doesn't reference comedy in that way, other things going on in that way. They make up movies. Beavis and Butthead references what's happening directly, and it's stunning. I say watch it, but start somewhere in the middle. I got what Scott was referencing is I got the 2 Mike Judge collections for $2 each from Goodwill, so quality shit. the first season is almost unwatchable. It's the cheapest animation that exists. It clearly was, to your point, what they put in between music videos, not its own show.
Right. It's charming.
It is. But it's like the spirit of Christmas from South Park. Yeah. Watch something later on first to get a feel for it.
It's like what Adult Swim used to do for so many years. It was, okay, we need to fill out a time slot. What random crap can we put on here? And it would be both the crudest stuff imaginable and the smartest stuff imaginable because nobody cared what they were doing.
Well, like Harvey Birdman, which is now getting its own movie.
Yes, it is.
I'm done.
That is some quality squealing.
Yeah. All right, Scotty Boy. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's Beavis and Butthead, guys. So if you know what it is, I mean, I don't know. You already got your opinion. I think what's interesting about it is watching them do the music videos. To me, that's the interesting thing because, yeah, it is like Mystery Science Theater. It is, you know, Riff Trax is it's on the network making fun of you. It's talking to you. You were just watching music videos on MTV, and then this show came on making fun of you watching music videos, which I think is wonderful. Yeah. And the fact that you're watching music videos on your couch, on your massive console 20-inch TV is...
You said massive.
Oh, yeah. 20-inch. You missed 20-inch. I think is enough to for a new viewer to be like, what is this? What the hell is happening right here? Like, you're on your couch watching this thing that has music videos? Who makes music videos? So I do think watching the new ones is probably the way to go, just to get the idea of how they're making fun of things. But if you've watched anything Mike Judge, he seems to always have his pulse on what it's like at a certain age, whether he's trying to tell you the truth or he's making fun of it. And I think this fits right in there with, you know, hormonal high school posers in the 90s specifically. Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, you probably, from my point of view, you probably don't need to watch this. So
I will give you a point. I didn't think about that, but it's ballsy for him to make fun of the watcher.
Yeah. Yeah. You were just enjoying that corn video, were you?
You dumbass.
Let me break it down for you. Yeah. So
shut up.
So that's my takeaway. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it though. I mean, I want everyone to enjoy it.
So Scott, life. How are we gonna wrap up your spinoff?
Well, we got one more, man.
Yeah.
We got one more. You gotta let me end this thing. be sure to subscribe to Myopia Defend Your Childhood wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. We'll be back next month for the final Myopia Mornings limited edition series, fresh in the plastic, as we attempt to ruin your precious Saturday morning or late Friday night memories as we grab a wooden stake and head into the hell mouth. Oh yeah, that'll be the last one, folks, and then that'll be it for me. Have a nice time. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Come to Butthead. Myopia Defender Childhood is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. Theme song is Caroline by the Serenaders, and their music is available on Amazon. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And tune in next week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks!
I would like to do homework and stuff for your love.
That's horrible.
It's true.
So strange.
Usually.
I can't imagine what that's like.
Do you want to?
That could never happen to me.
It might.
Lock him away. He's pure evil. Or insane.
Or human. My name's Kate. I have worked as a forensic psychologist, as well as in prisons and as a crisis clinician. My job was to figure out who gets locked up and who gets a key. To find the humanity in inhumane situations. So, Are you sure you really want to know?
Yeah. Maybe.
Because by the end of the episodes, you just might end up thinking...
I felt better before I knew that.
You can find me at IWB Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, sometimes Instagram, or you can email me at iwbpodcast@gmail.com.
Baby, I just want to feel myself.
Feel myself. Me too.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.